So today, in the ordinary time, we pick back up in Luke's gospel at a really decisive moment. Our gospel began today, it said, from this moment on, Jesus resolutely determined to go to Jerusalem. It doesn't say he decided, it doesn't say he made his way. He resolutely determined. The actual words that the Bible in Greek said is, it says he set his face. He set his face. When I read that, I thought, you know, if any of you have done any weightlifting in your lives, you know, you get there and you're going to do the power lift. You're going to do the strength one, right? And you get there, you literally set your face before you do it. You get your face ready. You get your determination up. Because if you don't think I'm going to do this, then you're not going to do it, right? He set his face like that. He set his face to what? To Jerusalem. And of course, we know what that means is the cross. He resolutely determined that day, the rest of the gospel, he knows where he's going to the cross. I think if Jesus hadn't done this, if he hadn't resolutely determined to go, I don't know that he could have done it. And I'm not doubting Jesus in any way, shape, or form, but I'm just saying he knew he had to decide like this. He had to be this decisive if he was really going to get there. The first town he enters after he decides this rejects him. And he has to have the freedom not to condemn them and call down fire from heaven. He says, no, no, we'll go on, James and John, right? But think of what he had to go through. The agony in the garden where he sweat blood. The scourging. And the carrying of the cross. I don't know that he would have been able to do that if he hadn't set his face, resolutely determined to go. So maybe a first takeaway this morning, is there something that you just need to decide today? Something you've been kind of deciding about, say, oh, this is important, I really need to make this decision. You've even made the decision, but you haven't stuck to it. That today you just need to resolutely determine to set your face. You know what's right maybe in that situation. You know what you need to decide. You just need to do it. Jesus maybe is encouraging you to do that today. The other way I want you to think about him setting his face, what is it Jesus set his face to? What did Jesus look at? Because he wasn't looking at the cross. What Jesus set his face to was to you and to me. He set his face. He was looking at something. He was looking at us. He set his face looking at each one of us, and that was his determination. I brought an image along today, and the Feast of the Sacred Heart was on Friday. It's one of my favorite feast days in the church. And there's many images of the Sacred Heart, and I love the image of the Sacred Heart. But this is one particular one that has struck me over my priesthood. And so it's in my chapel. I brought it over today. And I'll just walk around with it so you can see it a little better. It's the image of the Sacred Heart, but when Jesus is crowned with thorns. So at the moment, he's wearing his thorns and being mocked by the soldiers. And just see his eyes. How his eyes look out at us. Now, it's kind of hard to see from a distance, but if you're up close enough, what you can see is he's crying. As he looks at you, crowned with thorns, there's tears coming down his face. When I looked at this week, reading the gospel, I was like, Jesus, that's an image of you resolutely determined. Jesus is determined to do this for you. And he's letting you know all of the love that's in his heart for you. See, here's the thing. Jesus didn't just grit and bear it like us trying to power lift or do whatever it is that's difficult. What filled him wasn't a righteous anger. It wasn't a desire for power, control, simply to win something. What filled Jesus' heart was love. It was the love of his Sacred Heart that made him determined to go to the cross for us. What Jesus is looking at as he's looking at that, as he's looking at us, particularly in our sins, it's really something to consider, especially at that moment when he's being crucified for our sins. He's looking at us with those eyes in our sins. There's no condemnation in those eyes. When Jesus sees us in our sins, he doesn't see us in any form of condemnation. But he is so moved by the love of God in his heart that he sets his face upon us and he cries tears. This heart that loves so much and often by ourselves is so little loved in return. That feast day on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. Well, actually, first let me say this. After that line in the gospel, then Jesus says some rather difficult words. Talks about immediately following him, even leaving our family and everything else behind. And without, like, you can't turn back. If you set your hand to the plow and look back, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. They're pretty harsh words. But I think this helps us to kind of take it into context. It's that love that is so determined. That's why Jesus says those words, that we have to have that same love. On Friday, on the Feast of the Sacred Heart, was the day the handmaids took their first vows. And so I went there, the sisters, some of them, you've gotten to know a few of them, right? None of those that were here took their vows that day. Some of them did already, some of them have another year. But the ones who were ready took their first vows. And then actually yesterday, some of the sisters took their solemn vows, their permanent vows, forever vows. And as I thought of those words of Jesus, I thought of the sisters. I think maybe Jesus' words make a lot more sense. They are so radical when they say, I do to Jesus, that they give up even their family, give up everything, and they give themselves completely to him. And they do it, here's the thing, they do it with the same love that's filling that heart has filled their hearts. It's out of love and joy that they joyfully offer their whole life to Christ. It's a wedding day. And it's so beautiful to see. Every time I go to vows, I cry. It's just what I do. To see them offer their lives to Jesus in this way. And so yesterday at the Feast of the Sacred Heart, my desire for that, my love for that, the sisters there. But there was another reason I cried Friday morning. As Bishop Cousins got up, he was the bishop, the new one from Crookston. He's actually in charge of the Eucharistic Revival this year. He's been leading it. And he's very connected to the sisters. So he was celebrating the Mass. As he began Mass, he made the announcement. He said, in case you haven't heard this morning, the Supreme Court decided and overturned Roe versus Wade. Now, I don't go into this to offend anybody. I realize there are people that feel many different ways about this. I'm very conscious of that. I'm just a Catholic priest. And I just want to tell you and share how moved I was as we entered into that Mass. And partly, we have to understand Bishop Cousins' story. When Judy, Bishop Cousins' mom, was pregnant with him, she was 20 weeks along when her water broke. This is not good. She went to the hospital, and the doctor that met her at the hospital told her, you need to abort your child. He told her, if you take this child to term, he will be so deformed that he'll come out a freak. Those are his exact words. Judy, thanks be to God, was a resolutely determined woman. She was strong. Many women aren't that strong. She said, I want a different doctor. A second doctor came in, met with her, looked at everything. He said, I tell you what, Judy, if you're strong enough, if you're determined about this, you go home and you stay on bed rest, very, very strict bed rest, for the next 15, whatever it was, weeks, till he's enough that we can take the child, and I think he'll be born a healthy baby. And that's what she did. And that's what happened. It's kind of a little funny part of it. They didn't have a lot of money. This doctor knew that. The second doctor actually made a bet with the first doctor. He said, I'll make a bet with you. If this child is born healthy, I'll pay all of her medical costs. If he's born healthy, whoever loses the bet pays all of her medical costs. He was born healthy. And to that first doctor's credit, he paid all of her medical costs. I thought that was pretty amazing. as I sat there, oh, by the way, one more thing on yesterday, June 24th, the Feast of the Sacred Heart, as I'm sitting at this Mass, he's announcing this, the love of this heart of Jesus that looks upon us with such love for our life, that we may have life. The June 24th is also the birth of St. John the Baptist, one of the 3 days in the whole year that we celebrate a birth. Amazing. But what hit me was that it's the love of this heart that looks upon us precisely when we are in need and decides resolutely to give his life, shed his blood so that we could live. That this was the day that this happened. I was just blown away. Jesus in this heart looks not only at us, but he looks at every woman with love. At every mother, at every father, and at their child, even in the womb, with that look, that they may have life. There's no condemnation in these eyes. One more story I need to tell. The story of another very determined woman. Her name is Nellie Gray. Nellie Gray grew up in the kind of, I think she was born around the 20s, 30s, somewhere in there. Nellie Gray, I don't have the time exactly right, but Nellie Gray served as a corporal in the Women's Army Corps in the Second World War. This was her strength, okay? She got a degree in business, then she got a master's in economics, and then went on to Georgetown University Law School to get a law degree. Nellie Gray worked for the federal government for 28 years and practiced law even before the Supreme Court. As an adult woman, she converted to the Catholic faith. In 1974, when it was approaching the first anniversary of Roe versus Wade, she didn't want to let it go without somehow recognizing it and letting the country and the Supreme Court know that the people of the land were not just okay with this decision. It was actually the Knights of Columbus who called her up and they said, we'd like to work with you, we'd like to do something. They met in her living room. They had the first meeting together, and that's where they developed the first March for Life. Nellie Gray is the founder of the March for Life. And for the next 40 years, she would lead the March for Life until she died in 2012. A businesswoman, a lawyer, a successful woman in the world, but so convicted in her heart that she set her face resolutely determined in order to defend this issue. On Friday was Nellie Gray's birthday. I thought that was pretty amazing. I talked to my mom Friday night. My mom was the one who taught me to be pro-life. And we just had a beautiful conversation together. She told me stories of her memories. And I say all this because in the end, it's not about a Supreme Court decision. It never was. Because being pro-life is something that happens in the family. Something that's passed down from every mother to her children. Now, I said, I don't want to offend, and I want to be very careful. And I think our bishops are encouraging us in that. The Catholic Church encourages you in that, to be very careful as we approach this, because every parish is very diverse. There are people across the board that belong to the Catholic Church, and I realize that, I recognize that. I know that there are women here who have had abortions. And I can imagine that maybe they had an abortion and you or someone you know come through that and has become strongly pro-life even because of that. Or maybe it's simply this weekend is bringing up a lot of hurt and a lot of pain in your and her heart. It's a very personal thing. And so we need to be very careful. It's important not to be prideful, arrogant, boastful in any way, even as we celebrate what is a great thing. It's those eyes, you guys. That's what it is. There's no condemnation in those eyes. Our bishops of Minnesota said the same thing. In fact, there's a letter. It's in the back of church. You can pick it up on the way out, just on a table back there. It was an excellent thing. But they said in here how important it is for us as a Catholic church that women know that we support them. In fact, they said this, we pledge that our Catholic churches will be a sanctuary for women in crisis pregnancies. Any woman in a crisis pregnancy can come to the door of any Catholic church in our state and seek assistance and she will be helped and supported and at least directed to where she can find the assistance she needs. That's a pledge that we make today. Because it's not just about a celebration. There's a lot of work here. Like Jesus, what we need to do is to set our faces. Just as he has set them on us, so we set them on anyone that's in need. Whether that's a mother, a father, or the child. Resolutely determined to give our lives and do everything that we can so that they may have life. As one person said it, today is a day to celebrate, but tomorrow we get to work.